Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fly Brother Radio Show on the Industry Entertainment Network. I'm Ernest White II, storyteller and explorer and creator of the multicultural travel website flybrother.net. As part of my storytelling, I've had my travel writing published in places like Time Out Magazine, USA Today, Getaway Magazine, Panorama, Travel and Escape, Ebony, and at TravelChannel.com. I've lived in 5 countries and traveled to over 50, and I'm not saying all that to say that I'm all that. I just want to give you a little motivation, some inspiration, a few tricks and tips to go off and live an amazing fly life for yourself. Today on the Fly Brother Radio Show, I talk to Kimberly Ramsawak, travel career strategist and founder of Professional Jet Setter. Kimberly helps ambitious professional women land their dream travel jobs so that they can travel the world more, make money while doing it, and enjoy the global lifestyle they've always dreamed of without sacrificing their stable income. Kimberly believes that you don't have to choose between travel, having a successful career, and having a personal life, and she outlines some of the ways you can have it all with her guide, 5 Secrets to Live Your Dream Global Lifestyle, and her coaching programs at Professional Jet Setter. We'll talk all about corporate travel jobs, the importance of women's spaces in the travel industry, shopping, and a whole lot more. But before that, every week here on the Industry Entertainment Network, we highlight a community partner, either a small business, charity, or community service organization. This week, we're highlighting the Christina Phipps Foundation. The Christina Phipps Foundation provides specialized training to experienced yoga instructors, enabling them to guide cancer patients, survivors, and others with range of motion and pain limitations. A particular focus of the foundation has been on breast cancer, but the foundation's certified instructors work with all who have a range of motion or pain limitation regardless of their source. The foundation's training is conducted by physicians and other healthcare and yoga professionals. The Christina Phipps Foundation assists in establishing yoga therapy at hospitals, medical clinics, and other healthcare facilities. Classes are also available to the general community at selected locations. For more information, please go to www.christinaphippsfoundation.com. That's ChristinaPhippsFoundation.com. And let them know that the Industry Entertainment Network sent you. We'll be right back with entrepreneur and travel career expert Kimberly Ramsawak on the Fly Brother Radio Show right after this.
It's like you're looking through a telescope. You see where you're gonna be. Growing, getting better. You're not the person they see. Can't be mad at the things you've been through, cause they built your muscle. Now you're stronger than you've ever been. They can't stop your hustle. Your faith ain't never small. That's what brought you this far. Oh, yeah. See, you got your dreams and you got your prayers and you got your God. He gonna take you there. See, everybody has a season.
Are you a recent graduate, a displaced professional, or a subject matter expert looking for an opportunity? Or maybe you're seeking to advance your career in information technology and cybersecurity? If so, then Lanier Data Assurance Solutions, Inc. is the company for you. Lanier is a professional services consulting firm located in Washington, D.C., Largo, Maryland, and Jacksonville, Florida. We are comprised of highly experienced certified security professionals, as well as subject matter experts in the science of information security and privacy. Lanier has established a solid reputation for excellence by providing superior services to every client. This credible firm brings a wealth and expertise to the profession. If you are interested in challenging work, excellent compensation, contract and travel options, contact Lanier Data Assurance Solutions today. Like us on Facebook to get real-time opportunity announcements at facebook.com/Lanier, which is L-E-N-E-E-R, or call 301-476-1844. You can also email us at info@lanier.net.
Have you ever wanted to just get away? To lie on a beach in Rio de Janeiro? To party at the freshest night spots in Paris? To explore the markets of Istanbul or the breathtaking landscapes of Cape Town? Well, every week you can find out how with the Fly Brother Radio Show. Hi, I'm Ernest White II, international explorer, storyteller, and host of the Fly Brother Radio Show, your audio getaway to exotic destinations, useful travel tips, engaging interviews, culture, history, music, and global exploration. I've lived in 5 countries and traveled to over 50 around the world, learning languages and customs, experiencing cultures and connections, and I'd like to share a bit of all of that with you. So tune in every week, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, when we'll talk all about how to turn your life into a fly life. The Fly Brother Radio Show. Get lifted, only on the Industry Entertainment Network.
Brand ambassadors and business owners, the NEN has 2 questions for you. Are you ready to captivate thousands of new prospective clients, and are you ready to take your brand to the next level? If the answer is yes to both, then the Industry Entertainment Network is here to help you get there. Advertise with the NEN to give your brand the exposure that it needs on a national and international level to a diverse audience of substance and value. The Industry Entertainment Network is a global entertainment platform that highlights the positive aspects of music, film, culinary, lifestyle, and the beauty industry, with an emphasis on social and cultural issues. Our network features several evolutionary and elevating talk shows that are sure to appeal to your target audience at a fraction of the paid advertisement cost. Increase your business's and brand's value by taking advantage of our customer reach today. Contact us via email at www.welcometotheindustry@gmail.com or by calling 904-469-7511.
In the wake of tragedy, a phoenix rises to restore hope needed by many to mobilize and effect the change they seek. In preparation for change in our communities, the Real Talk with Anita Spencer radio show reflects the expertise of author, entrepreneur, culture curator, and community educator Anita Spencer. Her life's experiences and purpose both lead her to awaken, empower, uplift, and strengthen families around the globe. Tune into her show weekly to have your spirit elevated, your mind broadened, and receive the inspiration to build yourself and others up. Listen to Engage in Real Talk to get real solutions to real issues that affect our communities. Wednesdays from 7 to 8 p.m. only on the NEN.
We won't land, y'all. Come on.
Walk right up to the sun, hand in hand.
Hand in hand, every man.
Walk right up to the
every woman.
Sun. We won't land.
Welcome back to the Fly Brother Radio Show. I'm Ernest White II, and I am here with Kimberly Ramsawak, who, as I mentioned before, is a travel career specialist, strategist, actually, and founded Professional Jet Setter, which is all about helping professional, ambitious women basically land the travel dream jobs that they've been so desirous of and sometimes feel like they can't get. So thank you, Kimberly, for coming on the Fly Brother Radio Show today. I really appreciate you being here.
And thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Cool, cool. So you're up in the Poconos now. Is that correct?
I am, yes.
And now, is that where you're from?
Not originally. Originally, I was born and raised in Philly.
Okay.
And made my way over to New York City. And
all
then,
right.
You know, eventually fell in love and wanted to, you know, buy a house and own a house. And we lived in Brooklyn at the time and we got priced out.
Okay.
So we just started looking for places to live. And then, you know, when you're on the subway in Manhattan, you see in the Metro newspaper, you see advertisements for builders in the Poconos. And, you know, we took a chance and came out here to the Poconos to see what, you know, what was happening out here. And we decided to build a house out here. And, you know, my mortgage is cheaper than my rent.
Wow.
So, absolutely. So, yeah. And we're, you know, about 90 minutes outside of New York City. So, and about 2 hours from Philly. So, we're in a good spot right now.
Okay. Okay. And so, for many of us, we've heard of the Poconos, but a lot of people don't know exactly where that is or where they are.
It is in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So literally like right out of New York City from Port Authority, Midtown Manhattan to my door here in the mid Poconos, the sort of the center of the Poconos is literally 2 hours. It is sort of like the summer spot or the weekend getaway since we're so close to New York.
Okay.
But yeah, now it's becoming the place sort of where you live here and commute to New York. So it's a lot of people from Jersey and New York and Philly that live up here. So, yeah.
Well, what is there to do in the Poconos besides, you know, watch the sun, the stars and because you're so far away from the city.
And smell the fresh air.
Exactly. Listen to the toads croak.
It's so funny. When everyone comes to visit me, they're like, my ears were popping. I'm like, because it's that good fresh air, and you're on an elevation. You're in a mountain.
My ears were popping. It was pure oxygen that you were inhaling is what it is.
Well, now it's getting to be a big tourism destination because there is so many hotels and resorts here. I don't know if you've ever heard of Kalahari. But they're huge here.
The desert?
They have, yeah, the largest indoor water park in America.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah, so they just built their property here about 2 years ago. And there are a ton of water park resorts and casinos up here, Sands, Mount Airy. So it's a good sort of weekend trip for people that live in the tri-state. And, yeah, it's really nice. It's getting a lot more crowded now since it's becoming a tourist destination, but it's still, you know, suburbia.
Okay. So that's interesting. I mean, I'm a native Floridian, and for me to go into a rural area would be just counterintuitive, I guess. But at the same time, you're going into a mountain area. So I guess that's the difference. And the Poconos are mountains.
Yeah. Yep. Just you place the suburbs right in the around the mountains. Yeah.
Okay. So the view should be stunning.
It is. It is. Yeah. When you're down in the town of Stroudsburg, when you look up, I'm in Toby Hanna, so I'm up the mountain. So when you're down in Stroudsburg, you could like when you're driving, you could see the mountains as you go up the hill. And it sounds really rural, but it's not.
Okay.
It's getting more suburban every day. You know, yeah. So.
And it's diverse, I would assume.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. There's actually a lot of Caribbean people up here.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of Jamaican shops, Trini shops, because a lot of people are leaving New York and leaving Brooklyn to go build homes up here, and they still commute and work in New York City, which is what I did for many years.
Okay, wow.
My husband did. So, yeah, it's a huge Caribbean population up here, huge Spanish population up here, so it's really diverse here in Poconos.
That's cool. And so you mentioned working in the city, and you worked in the city for many years in the travel realm or what?
Well, I've worked in the corporate travel industry for over 14 years.
Oh, wow.
I can't believe I know I'm aging myself, but.
Might have started when you were 14, correct?
We'll just, absolutely.
Right. Go with the
absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely. But I've had a variety of jobs and positions throughout the industry. My last full-time position where I lived here in the Poconos and commuted to New York City was in tourism marketing for America's largest department store, as you know, as being Macy's.
All right.
And I did sales and, you know, management and operations for tour operators and domestic and international destination marketing organizations. So big companies that, you know, promote destinations and do all the slogans that we love, like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
And did all you work things. On that campaign?
I did not. No, I did not work with Vegas Tourism.
Okay.
But other destination marketing organizations. Yeah.
Okay. What were some of the places that you represented then?
I worked for Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Okay.
That was my first real position out of college.
And then I
worked for Tourism New South Wales in Sydney, Australia.
Oh, nice.
Helping out with tourism destination marketing there, and then moved over back to New York City where I worked for Times Square Alliance, which is sort of a nonprofit quasi destination marketing organization that handles everything and all things Times Square.
Okay, and so then, like beautification and advertising and that kind of stuff.
Safety, cleanliness, mm-hmm. all that good stuff for the district. Yeah, and then from there, moved over to Macy's. And that's where I was for the bulk of my corporate tourism career.
Well, now, what kind of corporate tourism would you do with Macy's? Like, explain it a little bit in greater detail, if you could, please.
Sure.
Because I'm not a big shopper. I'm not. I go to the men's section, and by that, I don't mean the section where they sell men's clothes. I mean the section where I can sit down and read. So, like, I don't like shopping.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. The blasphemy.
No, and I don't mean to be sexist. Y'all can call me out on that. I'm sorry, ladies.
But what I did for Macy's was literally promote Macy's as a shopping destination to international and domestic tourists.
Okay.
So it was my job to promote Macy's, not just the flagship store in Herald Square in mm-hmm. New York City, but all of the key store locations and all of the key tourist destinations throughout the United States.
Like so, Miami or Chicago. Okay.
Yep. Okay. Vegas, San Francisco, et cetera. And my main bulk of the role not only was to manage a national team, but also travel a lot internationally, going to trade shows, meeting with tour operators and travel agencies to basically promote Macy's as a shopping destination.
Okay.
Because, as you know, when you travel, the two main things you do is shop and eat.
Right,
going to all the trade shows in the industry and working with travel agencies to make sure they have Macy's in their catalog so they could in turn promote Macy's to their clients and customers as the place, you know, the place to go and the things to do in Macy's as a destination, not just a retailer. So, yeah, pretty cool job where I was traveling a lot, going to a lot of trade shows all around the world, fully paid by Macy's, by the company I work for. So.
That's very nice. And I will say this, like, I'm not a big shopper, but I have always been interested in, like, the history of the grand department stores in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, there's the show Mr. Selfridge that came on British mm-hmm. television. There's the there are a couple of documentaries. I think one of them is like Bury Me at Bergdorf mm-hmm. Goodman's.
Yep.
And they are really, really interesting when you look at kind of the idea of department store as destination. And
absolutely, yeah.
You've got the big ones, you know, Gallery Lafayette in mm-hmm. Paris. You've got mm-hmm. Kadeve in Berlin, and every yep. Takashimaya in Tokyo. So yes, I do actually know a lot about the history of department stores mm-hmm. versus shopping in general. What is it? What's the mystique that these commercial palaces have when people go traveling?
I mean, it's just, you know, and of course it's different for every demographic or for every culture or, you know, country, but, you know, different things appeal to different people. For instance, you know, the Chinese, they love their cosmetics and their perfumes.
Okay.
So when they come to America, you know, they're going to go to, you know, to the main floor of Macy's and shop and do the Louis Vuitton bags and, you know, the perfumes and the Clinique cosmetics. And, you know, and then, you know, the Italians, they love the high end jeans and also the high end handbags. So it is an experience. It is a shopping experience for international tourists coming to America. And it's the same as it is for me going to London and going, you know, going to those department stores,
yeah,
you know,
Harrods. Yeah, Harrods, Selfridges, right. And what's the other? Marks and Spencer, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a new one. Well, so then you have to study, like, the different cultural proclivities, though.
Absolutely, yeah.
For the guests.
If I want to do my job correctly and promote Macy's as a shopping destination, not only to, you know, to have the goal in mind of having a tourist coming to America and not going to an H&M. You know, I want them to come to Macy's. That's
right.
Number one.
Right,
but
right.
I don't want them to go to the Empire State Building. I want them to spend all their time and money in Macy's. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, fighting for that tourism market share overall. And that's what I love about tourism marketing in general. It's not just, you know, you can market a destination, but there's also, think of all the touch points you do when you travel. You go to museums, you go to retailers, you go to restaurants, and all these places, now, especially with, you know, people realizing that the tourism dollar is so strong. Travel and tourism is the largest industry in the world, and companies want to capture that dollar, that tourism market share. So that's why I'm so passionate about what I do at Professional Jet Setter, because a lot of people don't know that there's a lot of career opportunities out there other than working for a hotel, an airline, or a travel agency. You can have a really lucrative career and go up the ladder, if you will, in a career like tourism marketing, where you have a stable job, you know, you have, you know, an executive job in some instances where you can manage a team, have a great salary, have all your benefits of working in a stable company, but then you get to travel and get paid to travel on a regular basis, not just during the 2 weeks of vacation that you have each year.
Excellent. I'm so glad that you're bringing this up, specifically because I'm a digital nomad myself, and I do know that a lot of my listeners want that. But at the same time, a lot of people feel like, okay, I've got kids, I've got responsibilities, I've got family members that I take care of or whatever else. I need the stability that a more traditional job offers.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I've got this burning desire to keep traveling. How can I have it all? And you're saying
right.
You can.
Yeah, and that's exactly my dilemma in my early 20s coming out of college. I was like, how in the world can I still work in a company, you know, who believes in me and who I believe in, whose brand that I love, and I love the corporate culture, and I want to work for a company, but how can I still travel and get out there and, you know, and see countries and you know, meet with the locals and not just sort of rush for 2 weeks and rush and try to see everything and tick off things on your list and come back home and wait till next year to do it all over again. So, yeah, I've been there. Absolutely.
Well,
it can't happen.
I was going to say, and to be trying to do all of that as you decompress from your normal everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't even, often when people try to squeeze these epic adventures in their 2 weeks, they haven't had a chance to decompress from the strain of the 9 to 5. You know what I mean? And they aren't even able to maximize their time off because they hadn't had a couple of days even just to veg out at home, just to, like, you know, or prepare. Well, so please tell me then, Kimberly, where'd you go to school and what did you study? Because I'm curious to know, like, how you even got started on this path.
Definitely by accident. I
would
say I was introduced to the tourism industry, travel and tourism industry by accident, and I became an entrepreneur by accident.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah. I went to school undergrad at Widener University, which is right outside of Philly.
Okay.
And then, you know, graduated with a degree in international marketing. So I knew I've always wanted to do something in travel. I am the first generation American born of immigrant parents from Trinidad.
Okay.
So travel was always something that was ingrained in me from like a little kid. I got my first passport when I was 5. Because we went to Trinidad every summer, that was just what we did. And,
yes.
And, you know, from Philly going into New York and going to, you know, the Labor Day carnivals and meeting with all my cousins and, you know, meeting people of different cultures, that I was always had such a great passion for culture and travel and just seeing something that was different than what I was exposed to in the day-to-day.
Right. Early start then.
Yeah. So I always knew that I wanted to have a career that involved something international or global. And then when I graduated from college, you know, when you first graduate, the main thing on your mind is how can I make some money?
Right? Yeah. Definitely.
So, yeah, so started working in marketing for a medical textbook publishing company, which had nothing to do with travel. Nothing. And then from there, I left and was worked for a company that produced music content for your digital cable television. I did that for a while, which, again, had nothing to do with travel.
No, interesting.
Right. But I remember just, you know, it was about 5 years out of college doing those two jobs, and I was miserable. I was at a cubicle day in, day out, you know, only traveling, you know.
To the copier.
To the
Kinko's.
Exactly. Exactly. And going to, you know, spring break in Jamaica or, going to Miami Carnival. And that was the bulk of my travel. And I was like, this can't be like the next 40, 50 years of my life.
Right.
So I applied to a graduate degree at Temple University in Philly, where the degree was I would spend 6 months of the year in Italy and 6 months of the year in Japan. So
wow.
And you would get an MBA. So I was like, this is my degree. This is for me. This has my name written all over it.
I'm sorry. You said this is my degree. Like people say, this is my song. That is my degree.
I remember saying like, this is my degree.
Yes.
For me.
Yes.
I'll be a professional student.
Blame
and I could just, you know, I was living at home at the time. So I was thinking, I could just keep applying for degrees like this. And I'll just live internationally and I won't have to pay bills. Yeah.
No.
I got rejected.
Oh no.
I did. Yeah. Those pesky GMAT scores, I tell you. The standardized test taking. But I got rejected, and interestingly, the director of the program, I was talking to him and sort of pleading my case as to why I don't believe in standardized test taking and how I shouldn't be defined by my GMAT scores and how you should accept me because I'm just so passionate about travel. He was like, okay. But at the same time, you know, he didn't kick me out of his office, but he did say, you know, and of course he was doing his job promoting the school as well, but kudos for him. But, you know, for me, little did I know this was a pivotal moment in my career where he was like, why don't you learn, you know, check out the travel industry? We have a master's degree in tourism. Why don't you check that out? Since you love to travel, and check it out and see where that takes you. And I did. And I got into the program. It was a 2-year master's degree program in travel and tourism management. And that sort of led to me just networking with industry professionals in Philly. And that led to me being an intern at the Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Okay.
And I started interning there and sort of, you know, went under the wing of the VP of tourism there. And he sort of taught me everything he knew. And I remember that summer, I was just looking to just explore and just be out, you know, just be out of the U.S. So I applied for an internship in Sydney, which I got accepted to with Tourism New South Wales, where I would be interning under the VP of Tourism there.
Nice.
So I did that for the summer of 2003.
Oh, wow.
2002, 2003. Yeah, just interning in Sydney for this. I think it was 2003 maybe. And then when I came back that fall, the VP of Tourism at the Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau had a job lined up for me. He's like, you know, do you want to work under me in my tourism department? And I said, absolutely.
And, wow.
And that for a couple years. And then, you know, wanted to move to New York City. And that led to me going into Times Square tourism there, which led to me getting the position at Macy's. And then, you know, along the way in between, you know, started some teaching jobs at the universities in New York, teaching tourism and travel, which I still do to this day. I do teach travel and tourism at a couple of community colleges here in the Poconos and in New York City. So, yeah, so that's what sort of got me into the travel industry and, you know, to began my career in the industry.
Excellent. Kimberly, thank you so much for kind of giving us the background. When we come back, we're going to take a very short commercial break. I would love you to tell us all about Professional Jet Setter. And like, there's the coaching that you do, there's the empowering that you do, and there's the traveling that you do. And Absolutely. Yeah, like, we'll get more into it right after this. So audience, please stay tuned.
Imperium PR invites you to seek the highest level of visibility. Imperium PR and Media Group specializes in total image branding and projection. With our communication abilities and global media partnerships, we guarantee you the image you deserve. Partner with Imperium PR and introduce yourself to the world, and it will never stop talking about you. Call 202-656-9819 to inquire today.
Are you interested in breaking free from the chains of the past and acquiring the tools to change the narrative of your present, your future, and your legacy? If so, prepare to join forces with successful entrepreneur and Black conservative Rob Lester as he initiates provocative and eye-opening discussions on his radio show, Emancipation Rejected. In an effort to mobilize his community, Rob offers a variety of societal views and options for changing the status quo, privately and publicly. He also addresses the benefits of conservatism, capitalism, and constitutional rights, all while providing evidences of real, true freedom in America. Won't you join him in this social exploration? Tune in every other Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on the Industry Entertainment Network.
Welcome to an exploration into the discovery of independent talent on the Industry Radio Show. In this space, your Out of This World super hosts, Zakiya Yuwanda and Nicole Lester, will continue to shed light on extraordinary artists while confronting issues that impact our community, locally and abroad. You are especially invited to tune in to the weekly conversation, meet our phenomenal guests, and learn about the happenings that have landed on our radar. The Refuel Industry Radio Show is live every Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to taking off with you here on the Chevalier's
Entertaining Solution.
Fans and foodies alike, the moment we've all been waiting for is here. Celebrity Chef Elliot's Entertaining Solutions Radio Show is in full swing. Tune into the most alluring and entertaining food talk show with Food Network star Chef Elliot Farmer. Join the conversation to get exclusive food event details and gain an all-access pass to interviews with foodies and renowned chefs from around the world. Remember to stock your pantry, pack your fridge, and get your notepads ready for the tips and meal magic happening in the kitchen on Chef Elliot's Entertaining Solutions. Listen live every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the NEN. It really blows my mind.
Mommy, you're always working on a project.
Well, baby, Mommy's job is to help people conquer their vision.
What do you mean?
My consulting firm is called Visionary Consulting Solutions, and we consult businesses to make whatever branding, marketing, and event vision come to life.
Wow. Can you help me plan my birthday party?
I sure can. Are you ready to conquer your vision? Visit www.conqueryourvision.com or call 904-469-7511. That's 904-469-7511 today.
Welcome back to the Fly Brother Radio Show. I'm Ernest White II, and I'm talking with the wonderful Kimberly Ramsowak. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
All right. Woo.
Perfect.
Good. I am terrible with names sometimes. You have been to how many countries now, you think?
Country-wise, probably around between 20 and 25 countries.
Okay, and this is you always having had, like, a full-time job for most of your career.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's a hell of a lot for someone who has not taken hiatuses the way I do, or, like, the way a teacher might.
Right. Yeah. No hiatuses all through in my career, and I've been paid to go to every last one of them.
That is phenomenal. So professionaljetsetter.com, please tell us all about that. Give us the pitch and the spiel.
Sure. So currently I am a travel career strategist and founder of Professional Jet Setter, where I provide career coaching to professional ambitious women as it pertains specifically to the travel industry, where I help them find their travel dream jobs. And through that, you know, I love and my mission is to empower women to not put their passion for travel on the back burner because of fears of taking a step back in their careers. And you know, I want to inspire them to realize that they don't have to quit their jobs to travel, nor do they have to choose between traveling, having a successful career, and their life. So that is my main mission.
Excellent. Can men participate as well in your coaching?
It's strictly tailored for women.
Okay. Nothing wrong. I just wanted to ask. Because women do have, you know, specific career needs and, you know, just working in the cultures that we work in. So
I
do understand
it. Because a lot of men ask me, well, you know, why are you discriminating? I'm like, you know what? I don't feel I am, because I feel that women is at a disadvantage because we as women, and I've seen it time and time again, and I used to do this early in my career. You know, we discount ourselves so much.
Totally.
Wait until we are 1,000% ready to do anything, especially when it relates to promoting ourselves, interviewing for that job, tooting our horn, talking about our skills and our experience. Well, you know, I've only been doing this for like 6 months. So I don't know if I should, or and you know, men could be doing it for like 2 seconds and they're like, let me tell you what I do and how I do it. And women, we're just not, you know, built like that, you know, the majority of us. So I just feel like, you know, it was just my duty, and I'm just passionate about it to help women, you know, I call it uncover their unique pattern of excellence. You know, they already have the skills, the experience, the strengths, the knowledge to break into this industry and do something great in this industry and have a great career and get paid to travel at the same time.
No, you're right. Absolutely. Well, the thing is this, you know, in a patriarchal society, like, and so certainly not trying to mansplain, women are not encouraged to take the kind of risks that men are in order to achieve career success. And certainly men are kind of encouraged to own, you know, something that we've only done for 2 days, like you said. So, I mean, definitely I get it. I get it enough to understand the need for a woman's space with this, with what you do. So yeah, I don't find anything that's tailored towards a specific group that has historically been disadvantaged in some way as discriminatory. But
thank
that's because I understand, like, I understand history and I have common sense. So, anyway. And I'm also not looking to be offended by, like, oh, they won't let me do that. I mean, you could do your own, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and,
there's other resources.
You know, my blog, there's tons of free resources on my blog that talk about, you know, how to break into the industry and everything. But, you know, my coaching program is specifically for women. Yeah.
Cool. Ladies, please sign up and participate. Tell us more about the coaching program then, like the specifics, how long it is, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. So my coaching program is Professional Jet Setter Academy. And basically it's an 8-week career training and success coaching program that walks women through this course that they need to take to, you know, figure out their unique skill sets and strengths. I walk them through exploring all the travel career options. So, you know, do they want to do social media for a hotel? You know, do they want to get into destination marketing, you know, trade shows, study abroad or international education or, you know, hospitality PR? You know, we figure out based on their skills and strengths, you know, where do they fit in the, where can they fit in the industry? And then once they figure out where they fit, you know, work with her to validate her travel career idea and make sure it's the right one for her, through, you know, informational interviewing, networking in the industry, making sure she gets her name and face out there in those circles, so that people start to, you know, equate her with someone that's passionate about the industry, who wants to enter this industry. And then, you know, working on all the core career stuff, your resume, your cover letter, how to, you know, articulate your value to travel career companies and hiring managers, because it is, at the end of the day, you know, how can you bring value to the company? How can you solve the company's problems? Mm-hmm. Whether or not you have experience or not, can you solve my problem as a hiring manager at the company? And, you know, and how to work with her to articulate the value she brings to the industry. And then, you know, through that, nailing, you know, her dream interview so she could find that travel dream job and land it.
Yes. All right. I mean, you're just so like, you nail it. Obviously, you're someone that's used to explaining your particular project, your particular processes and everything, because it's just so succinct. And I love listening to you talk about this stuff.
Oh, thank you. I'm very passionate about it.
It's amazing. I mean, people have to be passionate about what they do. And if it's involving empowering others, you know, like your passion empowers others, even if you didn't come up with a program that was specifically tailored to empower other people. Just you talking about what you do is empowering.
Oh, thank you.
Well,
thank
I feel
you.
Like it anyway. Yeah. and so then, let's see, I'm looking at your website now, and it's beautifully arranged. You basically tell everybody exactly what they need to know in order to get started. What are some of the tangible benefits that come from the program?
Tangible benefits is basically they'll walk away at least knowing what they can do and what they want to do in the travel industry.
Okay.
And then getting their name out there. I'm working with a client right now who she wants to get into travel concierge planning for a whole, you know, big brand hotels. And, you know, she's extremely shy, not from the industry at all. But, you know, she's out there, you know, mingling and mixing with industry professionals at big networking events. She's volunteering her time on the weekends to, you know, lend her expertise to events. And she's getting her name out there. And a lot of people are noticing her. And, you know, it will end up eventually lead to, you know, job procurement. So, yeah, it's just, you know, getting your name out there in the industry. And even before that, really getting your mindset around really figuring out or being cognizant that you have existing work experience, skills, and strengths that are truly valuable. So a lot of women say, you know, I don't know anything. I don't have any experience. And when I say, well, what have you done? Oh, I've done social media for this website and I've done this, but that's just, you know, a side project that I did on my job. What do you mean?
You know,
social media, mobile marketing, content development. I mean, these are huge in-demand skills in the travel industry. And, you know, a lot of women have these skills and they're like, yeah, but, you know, it's a hobby or I've done it on side projects, not my main responsibilities. And for them to really, sort of, you know, have their mindset shift from "but I don't" to "actually I do." That's just so gratifying for me, and one of the main benefits, you know, they get working with me. And then also just, you know, really figuring out like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that they had this in the industry, and you know, this is something I really want to do. Like if you have a passion for food and you love to write, you know, there's so many things you could do with that in the industry. Or if you know you're a tech person or a numbers person, I could pretty much guarantee that I could find a fit for you in the industry with your existing skill set, no matter what it is. So, yeah.
Wow. So even if someone is just coming with a high school education or just a bachelor's degree, not to minimize any of that, but just saying like not a high level of formal education that would be looked upon favorably in business.
Well, as far as from an education or credential standpoint, you do not need, you know, a master's degree or a graduate degree to break into this industry. Of course, you know, your standard bachelor, you know, is always the norm. But I work with women who are in the mid stages of their career. So they've had some success working. They're, you know, confident in their career. They've, you know, perhaps managed a team or, you know, they're in mid management or even executive level. So they had. For them to work with me, a prerequisite is that they had some career experience under their belt. So try not to work with entry level too much, only because that's a whole another set of skill sets and parameters that woman has or doesn't have yet. So I like to work with women who is sort of in the mid stages of their career.
Okay, understood. So then you've got a freebie on your website. It's an ebook that kind of gives some tips about living your dream global lifestyle.
Yes.
What's that about?
Yes.
What's the dream global lifestyle?
They're gonna have to download the guide to find out.
Okay.
No, but no, seriously. But no, it's just an easy read and a quick guide to really figure out how they could incorporate travel in their existing career quickly. Mm-hmm. So right now, if they're stuck behind the cubicle, what are some quick tips and tactics that they could do to approach their boss to get to tack, you know, on more vacation days? Mm. Or how to, even if they can't get more PTO, how can they figure out, you know, a roundabout way to get sent on travel assignments or go to professional conferences?
Okay.
That is in that, you know, I've never been to Chicago. There's a professional conference going on. How can I approach my boss so he sees the value in sending me there to the conference so I become a more valuable employee, but I'm going to Chicago. I'm getting a free trip to Chicago.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, what are those tips and tactics? And then also in the end, you know, really promoting the travel industry and sort of showing them that this is another option, that you can work in the travel industry, and here are a couple career paths that exist in the travel industry. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a quick read.
Cool. Well, they can download it at the site. What was your most memorable experience traveling for work and most enjoyable?
So many, but I think the main one was in China. I was in Beijing and Shanghai on a business trip.
Okay.
And some of the colleagues, I was there for a hotel trade show, and some of the colleagues there wanted to take me out in the evening to go do massages. And I love a good massage.
Okay. As do many others, I assume.
Yes, I'm down for that. So, you know, I'm used to the massages here in America where, you know, it's really, you walk in and you smell like peppermint and it's really relaxing.
Right.
And you hear the spa music and, you know, it's really relaxing. But this was not that experience.
Okay, were you beaten up?
Yeah, I had no idea that Chinese massage is extremely firm, and I'm, you know, being really nice when it comes to the firmness.
Right, politically correct.
No relaxation involved. It was borderline painful, and I mean, in a weird way, like I felt so good afterwards.
Right. But
while you're experiencing it, and the funny thing about it was like this 4-foot woman.
She killed you.
She was so petite. And when I got in there, she's like, usually, you know, when you do a regular massage here in the States, you take off your clothes, you know, they leave the room, you take off your clothes, you get in the robe, you get on the table with the towels. There, she's like, no, you don't take off your clothes, you're good, just get on the table. And I was like, oh, okay, fine, you know. And she went to work. I mean, it was really hard to not cry out in pain.
Okay, but, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that.
It was a really good experience because at the end, and it sounds so cliche, but I swear to God, this is what she did, what she said to me. After I got up, and she didn't speak a lick of English, but she said to me, she goes, muscles neck, very tight muscles neck.
Mm-hmm.
No work hard. And the way she said it and the way she looked at me in the eye when she said it, it was just like, oh my gosh, like.
Chill out in your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And live.
Yeah, exactly.
Work
exactly.
To live, not live to work.
Yeah, yeah.
And so challenges then, because I know we extol the beauty and virtues of travel all the time, but it is quite challenging. And there are times when, well, I wouldn't say there are times when we ever think, I don't want to travel anymore. I mean, that's ridiculousness.
Right.
But that's crazy talk. But there are times when we're like, this is not easy. And
yeah.
What's one of the challenges that you can feel comfortable talking about?
I think with me, since the bulk of my travels has been in a business setting, you know, traveling as a female businesswoman, I think a lot of the challenges is just, you know, You do correspondence over email before you arrive there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you arrive there, you know, I'm a Black woman, and especially with my last name, you know, when people see me in person, it's like, oh, oh, like, I didn't know you were a woman of color. And especially going to a lot of trade shows and seeing the landscape that is, you know, traditionally a white male dominated industry, and far less for a woman of color. That's always been something that, you know, I've always been cognizant of. And, you know, when I talk to people and do business people, they always have like this, oh, wow, okay, all right. So director, oh, okay, all right. You know, so it's like a little, you know, they get taken aback. So that was always something that was always very, challenging. But, you know, I just dealt with it because I want to be the one to show them that, yes, I'm here. Mm-hmm, yes, mm-hmm. I know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
you know,
and
yeah. And then I think on the other side is just, you know, traditionally just doing business with foreigners or with, you know, people that are different from you. You know, like a lot of countries, you do business while you're socializing. You know, during the day you go to the trade show and then in the evening you go to that cocktail party and it's mm-hmm. like, you know, we'll talk about work later. And then, you know, you go to that cocktail party or dinner party and you have to socialize and get to know their family and their life and, you know, their personal life before you could really get down to business. So it's much more a personal way of doing business. And, you know, with, you know, us Americans, it's like, okay, are you going to sign a contract?
Right. You got in your purse or your back pocket.
Right. And, you know, you just have to, you know, personally, it's, for me, a advantage because I believe that's how business should be done in a way. Sometimes, you know, relax, we'll get it done, but you know, get to know me as a person, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but it could be challenging when you're on a timeline or a deadline. So, yeah.
Well, certainly, I mean, you were generalizing in terms of how Americans do business, but absolutely. You're a personable yep. person. So obviously, you know, and many of us who come from, you know, maybe large families or mm-hmm. cultures that are very warm and very welcoming. We, even doing business, enjoy getting to know the people
yeah.
that we're doing
yep.
business with. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I can see how that's been very positive for you.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, are you still at Macy's then?
I am not. I'm a professional dresser full time. So, yeah, it's been a while. I actually left Macy's back in mid 2013. So yeah, ever since then I've just been teaching here at the university. And you know, back then I had my son in 2012, so he's 4 now, but back then, you know, I wanted to take some time off to be a full-time mom.
Okay.
And then started teaching, and then that's when the professional dress editor really, you know, became a focus of mine.
But so you've turned your passion into your primary career.
Absolutely, yeah. Yep.
So it is doable. You are proof.
It is doable. Yeah. And it was by accident. I mean, I was never raised to be an entrepreneur. No one in my family is an entrepreneur, you know, especially from immigrant parents. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one thing and one thing only, education,
right,
education.
Right, right.
So, you know, go to school, you know, get good grades, graduate, get a job, climb the ladder, retire, and have a family somewhere in between all of that.
Right.
So it's just, you know, I sort of fell into it. You know, when I was teaching a careers and travel course at NYU, back when I was living in New York City, a lot of people used to come to me and say, how do you work at Macy's? What is this job? How did you get this job? And I used to always get asked that question, like, when I used to go to trade shows, what is Macy's doing here? How do you get this job? I never even knew this existed. Mm. Like, how are you getting paid to go to this country again? What do you do? How do you do it? Can you take a look at my resume? You
know? Yeah, no.
Yeah. And I just
don't worry about how I got it. I got it. That's all you need to know.
And a lot of people were asking me this over, you know, over the years, and I never put two and two together until one day, you know, when it was ready, you know, they say, you know, what is it, the saying that
when the student's ready, the teacher appears.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, that happened, you know, when I was home and with my son, you know, and I had a lot of time to think about what my next step is and what I want to do. Do I want to go back to corporate America? What I want to do. And that's sort of how, you know, that came full circle. So,
well, and I will say that I don't mean to necessarily contradict you in anything that you've said, but I don't believe it was accidental at all. I believe that it probably wasn't the plan that you had for yourself or it wasn't something that you even thought that was within the realm of the possible. Even if it was like, you know, subliminal, it might not have been just in the front part of your mind. Oh, I can't ever do this. I mean, you just didn't think about it necessarily, but it was totally by design because here you are, very successful at it.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely from the thought that, you know, there's no coincidences, you know, everything is supposed to happen exactly when it's supposed to happen.
Amen.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I know people might think that's a little bit woo, but hey, it is what it is.
No, I am definitely all about the woo. Yeah.
You and me both. So, and I mean, folks at home, look, like, this lady has been paid for traveling, like, her entire career, and now she's doing it on her own terms. Like, I'm so, like, it's amazing, and please continue doing it and continue empowering people, because they need to know that what they want to do in life is possible.
Absolutely, yeah. My father always used to say,
welcome back to the Fly Brother Radio Show. As Kimberly mentioned before the break, you can...
Closer to my dream.
Welcome back to the Fly Brother Radio Show. As Kimberly mentioned before the break, you can find out more about Professional Jet Setter at ProfessionalJetSetter.com and on LinkedIn and Facebook by searching for Professional Jet Setter. That's Professional JETSETTER. If you missed any portion of the Fly Brother Radio Show or would like to experience this session again, please log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/welcome to the industry to listen to the on-demand version of the show. And remember, that's industry without the I. You can email me directly at ernest@flybrother.net, and you can please like the Fly Brother Facebook page at facebook.com/flybrotherfly. Please share any questions, content, stories, anything that helps me to help others thrive. Listeners, please join us here next and every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern. That's GMT minus 4 for our international listeners. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Fly Brother here on the Industry Entertainment Network. Have a phenomenal weekend and an amazing week. Ciao, ciao.